It's that time of year again, Halloween season. On Blood and Black Rum Podcast, we take this very seriously. So, we're going back to the basics with what we're calling Halloweenies 2. Movies that take place on or around Halloween. Your favorites like Hocus Pocus, Ernest Scared Stupid, Terrifier, and more. Tune in all September and October as we smash jack-o'-lanterns and Oktoberfest in equal fashion.
Hey, welcome back to the Blood and Black Rum Podcast Halloween Special. I'm your host, Ryan from CloseExploitation.com. Joining my co-host, Martin.
How's it going?
Doing pretty well. We're smack dab in the middle of our Halloween season, continuing our Halloweenies 2 Festival of Halloween Films as we dive into movies that either take place or take place around the Halloween season. Back to basics, if you will. One thing I wanted to mention first before I forget, John Carpenter returning to the director's chair with a new series that he's producing for, I think it's Hulu, or maybe Amazon, called,
Give me money, I like money.
Yeah, I guess so. They're again, you know, he gets away with putting his fucking name on things.
Are you serious? I didn't even know about this. He's got a new company?
Yeah, I tagged you in it. I didn't know if you... So, I like how there's definitely a marketing scheme behind this, right? So, of course, again, they're throwing his name on there. Because he's a producer on it. Okay, cool. You know, so he's producing it. Great. Throw his name on there. It's called John Carpenter's Suburban Screams. And the thing about this is that I kind of find funny is that there's everybody running with this headline, John Carpenter returning to the director's chair for another series, for a TV series. And yet he's directing one episode out of like the 6 or 8 episodes that are in this. It's Peacock. Peacock's got this. He's directing one episode out of like 6. But they're running with it. They're saying like, John Carpenter coming back for the direct. You know, it's not like this is his brainchild of, you know, he's doing every episode. He wrote every episode. He's directing every episode. He's making the, you know, music for every episode. He's only doing one episode, guys. Like, it's not that big of a news. I guess it's news in the fact that he's, you know, he's going to direct an episode. But it's a little bit different because it's a true crime show that is also utilizing, like, vignettes of, you know, acting out what happened in that true crime. So, you know, it's kind of like an Unsolved Mysteries. You know how Unsolved Mysteries used to take like an actual event and they used to have it acted out and you'd see it occur and it's like, you know, down at the bottom it would say like, not the real events. You're not seeing the real depiction. This is an actor's depiction. I think the same is going to be true of Suburban Scream. So that's what John Carpenter is going to direct. And I would say direct in a it's a loose sense. He directs the episode. He's telling them how to order it. But at the same time, is it really a return to the director's chair? I don't know.
But anyway, he's got a game coming out.
A game?
Yeah.
Like a video game?
Yes, John Carpenter's Toxic Commando. It's a zombie first-person shooter made by Focus Entertainment and Saber Interactive.
Cool. Yeah, so I just want to mention that because I do think it's interesting, you know, especially since we did a Carpenter Halloween month before. He's got that coming back for this October. It's premiering October 13th, by the way, Friday the 13th, of course. As you mentioned, didn't even realize it. Halloween season has an October 13th, Friday the 13th in it. Totally missed it. So,
well, it's an opportunity. I mean, at this point, why bother?
But anyway, Suburban Screams coming to you this October on Peacock.
Why not just have Peacock do a version of Body Bags?
There you go. Do a new version of Body Bags.
Bring that.
I know,
bring that.
That's a good idea. You should pitch him that. Chris Martin's, you know, Body Bags. And everybody be like, what the fuck is this Coldplay guy doing?
Hey, you. Well, I mean, but, as we talked about when we did So Creepy as Carpenter 2 years ago, Body Bags, an underrated John Carpenter classic.
It is. It is. Yeah, that was one that we.
It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It's a creep show that John Carpenter does instead of George Romero and Stephen King. Liked it a lot.
And him and Toby Hooper and John Carpenter as the mortician, the coroner.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Amazing.
Getting to see boobies. Yeah.
Yeah. And Mark Hamill's ass. Don't forget that.
True. True. So for this episode, we are going a little bit of a different area that we haven't been to before, but we've talked about it. And this is a movie, and yet it almost doesn't seem like a movie. It seems like a, like a TV production. It's a little bit of everything. It's definitely inspired by other documentary style films. It's inspired by the Amityville Horror. It's got a lot to it, and it is relatively low budget as well. We've never done it before, but we've probably mentioned it a few times on here. But we're going to be covering WNUF Halloween Special. And I will say that when I first heard about the WNUF Halloween Special, which released in 2013, I legitimately thought, I was like, what is this WNUF Halloween Special like? What channel was WNUF? And what special are they talking about? Because I don't remember catching it when it was on TV. So I always thought, like, when I was just hearing it,
you just missed out.
Yeah, I was like, what is this Halloween special that these people are talking about? Like, what TV channel did a special? You know, because I have very fond memories of things like this, Halloween specials that channels used to do, even up until recently. And then, you know, even though it's kind of stupid, like, the Travel Channel would always have, like, the Halloween special where, like, we're sending ghost adventures to the most haunted house imaginable for 4 fucking hours on Halloween night. You can watch them live with your webcams and tell them if you've seen any ghosts in the background. Look for these ghosts. I remember doing that. I remember sitting at my computer, fucking watching the webcams, fucking looking in the background. It's like, do I see any ghosts back there? Did anything happen in that really grainy webcam that I can't see shit about? Yeah, I remember doing that.
You were watching MTV's Fear with bated eye, like, oh, I saw a ghost there.
That's right.
It's that goddamn Godsmack song that's summoning these demons up.
Yep, for whatever reason, I have very fond memories of Halloween specials, and not just like specials, like channels, but like Halloween episodes. Like, Roseanne has a special place in my heart for the Halloween episodes that they did. They're mostly great.
You want to say heart again, but properly?
Heart. In my heart. For some reason, even though I never watched it, Beverly Hills 90210's Halloween episode somehow is in my memory. What happened was, there was a night where I went to a haunted house, and for whatever reason, Beverly Hills 90210 was on, and I caught a glimpse of it, basically. It was just like fucking one glimpse of like pumpkins in an episode or something. And that now has been forever ingrained in me. Like, Beverly Hills 90210, Halloween. I know it's a weird stretch to like put those together, but this is what it is. I don't know what to say. So Halloween specials, they've always had a special place in my heart. And the WNUF Halloween special, I think, you know, I was interested in it because I was like, what is this Halloween special? So I checked it out one year, and I was blown away by what was in this movie, which is basically a reenactment of what you might have seen in the late 80s on TV during the Halloween season. Now, I don't know about you. I know you don't have as much nostalgia for holidays and things like that that I do. Any special Halloween memories of specials or anything like that for you?
It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Hmm. Okay. Yep. That's one. One for me as well.
our pumpkin bins at work come in with it, saying it's the great pumpkin.
Yep, yep, yep. That's that's always been a thing. It's a great pumpkin. Charlie Brown was another one that I would watch quite a bit. And my dad actually one year put a rock in my candy basket, like my pail. And when I got home, you know, he's like, what's in here? And I had to say, oh, look, I got a rock. So he always thought that was pretty hilarious.
For being a little shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so, you know, he always brings that up. About the time I went trick-or-treating and I got a rock as well, like Charlie Brown. You never saw Halloween Special, right? You never... had seen pieces of it. I think I've shown you.
Yeah, I haven't. But. Yeah, no, I haven't seen the whole thing. I've seen like good 40 minutes of it though, because the one time when way back in the early days of the podcast, even back when they rolled house, I stopped by. I can't remember. It's around the Halloween. I think it was maybe for one of your parties when you got the keg of Adirondack Oktoberfest. You were playing that, and I sat down. You're like, go watch it. It's WNF Halloween Special. And I watched it for like 30 minutes. And I was like, no, it's pretty fun. It's pretty cool. But I haven't sat down since. Revisit it.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say that I probably watched it every Halloween since I've seen it. Definitely have... You know, it's become a tradition for me to watch it. It's a really fun movie. And I hope we get across the things that make it a lot of fun as we get into this episode. But before we do that, let's take a break. Talk about the beer that we've got on the show today. Because we have another Oktoberfest on here. I think that's maybe a record for our episodes, where we've covered an Oktoberfest pretty much every single episode of, you know, our Halloween season.
No record.
That's right. This time we've gotten one that I've actually never had before. It's been one that's been on our radar, but for whatever reason, I've just never checked it out. But we've got Von Trapp Brewing and their Oktoberfest Lager.
Or as I like to call it, a do re fa sol la ti do re mi.
The sound of music.
A deer, a female deer. Which, by the way, we need to do that, Phil, for one of these days for the podcast. Cause
the sound of music.
I love the sound of music.
I've never seen it. Never seen it.
You've never seen the sound of music?
No, never seen it.
So, fun fact, when we're done with this bullshit for Halloween, rolling into the sound of music. How have you never seen The Sound of Music?
Never seen it happen. I don't know.
Well, oh my god.
Don't know. But yeah, this you were telling me this Von Trapp Brewing, they actually are owned by the Von Trapp family of The Sound of Music fame.
Yeah, I was actually surprised. I thought it was kind of like just like a fun naming convention. Like, oh, you know, Von Trapp, like, makes you think of Austrians and Austrian beers. No, it's actually owned by the one of the Von Trapp family members.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
That is cool. And it makes mention of that on the can, too. It says, literally says at the top, by the family that inspired the sound of music. They're, like, not hiding it whatsoever. They're just like, yep, we are the Von Trapp family.
All we need is, like, a Flying Willenda beer next. Like, beer from Barlam and Bailey and the Flying Willendas.
Yeah, absolutely. So this one, like I said, I've never had before. You've never had this one before. This is a solid little, I would say, closer to Marzen style Oktoberfest.
It's definitely a Marzen.
Yeah.
Not close. It's definitely a Marzen.
It's definitely got the malty, bready, toffee element to it. Has a little bit of hop character in there. Not as pronounced as our Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest that we had last week. And I would say, all around, it's a pretty solid Oktoberfest where I don't really have any complaints. I also don't really have anything to say specifically about this particular version of the Oktoberfest, because I think it's like right in line with an Oktoberfest style. but it doesn't really do anything outrageous. Doesn't really have any, you know, specific characteristic that makes it seem different than any other Oktoberfest. I think it's, you know, perfectly in line. Very good. And if you like Oktoberfest, you're going to like Von Trapps. You have anything else to add that I can't come up with from my limited vocabulary about beer?
It's a very good Marzen. It's very bready, very biscuity. Toff, you know, that nice, as you said, toffee characteristic. Crisp, refreshing, nice and hearty, especially now that we're getting into these nice colder months and the temperature is starting to plummet up here in upstate New York. I'm really surprised about how good, damn good this is. I'm kind of regretting never really trying it. This is a really good Marzen. It hits everything that you'd want. It's very drinkable, but filling, crisp, bready. It's just a really delight. And it does have, like, as you said, like a little hoppiness to it at the end to kind of pair with it. I like this a lot. I would definitely think about adding this into my rotation of Oktoberfests. And I'm kind of surprised that, because they are based in Vermont, that I've only gone on my way to have like one other of their beers. I don't know why, because I do see Von Trapp stuff every now and then at our local beverage center. Why? I don't know why I haven't really gone out of my way to try more of their offerings, because they seem, you know, to be damn good. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Excuse me.
Ooh,
Ray would definitely say give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely drinks easy. It goes down smooth. For an Oktoberfest, that's what you can ask for. So I definitely appreciate this Marzen. Very good. And I would definitely check out Von Trapp, other stuff as well. You know, German, Austrian inspired beers. Really good. All right, so let's talk about WNUF Halloween Special. And it's kind of hard to find a good starting place for this. But what I do want to start with is just to kind of lay out the idea of WNUF Halloween Special, and that it is basically a recorded VHS tape of a 1987 Halloween special on the WNUF channel 28. And it kind of encompasses a lot of nostalgia for a time that viewers may or may not have lived in. It has a news broadcast. It has a lot of commercials, a lot of ads, and it has a nice Halloween special that is meant to be played out kind of like, you know, some of the actual Halloween specials that were done as movies, like Ghostwatch. Ghostwatch is a huge inspiration for WNUF Halloween special. You can just tell. And I know you haven't seen Ghostwatch, but it is a really historic movie in the fact that it was played on the BBC on Halloween night. People did not realize that it was a movie. They were expecting it to be an actual, you know, live broadcast. And it ended up frightening a lot of people at that time, you know, in a very Orson Welles sort of way with the War of the Worlds. Ghostwatch was a similar idea. And so WNUF Halloween Special is kind of takes that idea of a live broadcast and supernatural elements, paranormal elements, and it puts it into a movie format that really capitalizes on nostalgia. And I say nostalgia for 1987, but you really don't need to have lived through 1987. This is kind of, it kind of spans the gap, even though this takes place in 1987, it spans the gap really between like the late 80s through the late, I would say the late 90s, right? Like probably, you know, even growing up in the late 90s watching TV, you're going to notice a lot of the same types of cadence and things, advertisement templates and things like that, that you would have seen at that time. So you don't really need to have lived directly in the 80s when this film is supposed to have taken place. It kind of encapsulates that decade or so of TV. So it's kind of segmented in a way that you first get in like a news broadcast that's kind of overlapping into the the actual Halloween special. And the news broadcast is great because it really does capture the essence of news broadcasts around that time, because they were, especially local ones, they were definitely less, even considering like our local news, it's a lot higher budget now than if you remember back in the 80s, 90s. They were not throwing huge budgets at local TV news broadcasts. And that's kind of what the WNEF Halloween special presents, like a very low budget news broadcast at a very specific time. Do you remember news broadcasts like this?
Yes. Yeah, even like the main stations around here, not like a, like a public access, like NBC, ABC, and Fox, their, you know, news production in the, up until like the late 90s. It wasn't anything to tote. It was like, you know, kind of ramshackle, like... She's like, all right, here you go. Here's your local news team giving you the news.
Right. And now it's a little bit different because now a lot of even local news has been bought up by...
Charter and other shit like that.
Yes. Yeah. Like actual big companies. So they actually have a, you know, a specific template and they have a budget. But at the time, that really wasn't the case. And so you did have local news broadcasts just operating themselves, you know, as an individual entity. And I think that's kind of what the WNEF Halloween special gets at, is like you definitely have this very low budget production that was going on. And they just captured that so well with the news broadcast, because you have, again, there wasn't as much like schooling in broadcast. There wasn't the precision that we have now, and you see that in the WNEF Halloween special, because it's very off the cuff at times. The acting or the actual, you know, presentation of from the anchors is not as professional, and I really love that. I think it really hits the right notes for the news broadcast. And it is interesting that the movie decides to present the news broadcast to you. I mean, it has some information in it that will be relevant later on in the movie. But it is interesting because, you know, obviously, as the person that's viewing the VHS tape, you would think that they would want to skip past all the news pieces, you know, the puff pieces that are going on. But they don't, and then you kind of get to see that element that the film has going for it of this, you know, this encapsulation of a time period. So I really like the news broadcast. I think that's pretty cool. And then it moves into, you know, you do get a flurry of advertisements throughout this movie. There's so many ads in it that they shot for specifically for this movie. And even more that didn't make it into the movie. There, you know, especially on the Blu-ray that I have from Terror Vision, they include, I think, about 7 minutes of additional ads that they shot that they didn't use. And then
another 7 minutes. So
yeah. And then I guess like that was kind of lost on the cutting room floor. They had more that they didn't even know they had until they later found them. So about 15 minutes of ads that they didn't even use. But what you do get in the movie is probably, I don't know how many, like, I want to say like probably like 40 to 50 ads. Would you say?
Yeah.
Something like that, that's kind of peppering throughout. You would think this is like a football broadcast with how many ad breaks they're doing in this, how, you know, this WNEF Halloween special. Because they do take a lot of ad breaks. But the ads are really, I feel, what make this movie what it is. Even though a lot of them don't actually have much to do with Halloween specifically, they really make the movie, give it that nostalgic feel. I don't know if you feel the same, but for me, I think the ads are part of my favorite part of this movie.
No, it's definitely great. It's very Tim and Eric-ian vibe too, and it's great. We'll play more, definitely play more straight.
Yes, but yeah.
But it is kind of very Tim and Eric Awesome Show. Great job, you know, and it's aesthetics.
Yeah, Tim and Eric, they tended to have more of that. Hey, this is a weird public access television ad, whereas I feel like the WNEF Halloween special does play it straight with the way that the ads are presented, in that they are not as weird. They're pretty much what you would expect to see during something like this. But at the same time, they do get in there like nice puns, witticisms that you have to, you kind of have to be looking for to notice. There's a lot that I really like, but there were a few that I, you know, I actually took note of. One of my favorites for sure is the Demolition Derby ads, because they have great one-liners in that you know, just listening, it really captures, especially for us too, because we have a local, you know, Speedway that would also do advertisements like this. It's very, very spot on in how they did it. But my favorite is, you know, first of all, they start out with Tuesday, like, which is not, you know, you're not your typical Demolition Derby.
Yeah, I said you're used to like monster truck, like Sunday.
Yeah.
Thunder Nationals coming to your local arena down to the Knickerbocker. Kids just $5.
It's hilarious. They start out with Tuesday for one thing, but then definitely my favorite line, maybe of the entire movie, is when you're at the end of the Demolition Derby ad. They're like, "We'll sell you the seat, but you're only gonna need the edge." I love that. It's just a fucking great line. I mean, whoever wrote that line, brava, excellent job. It's a great line. It's just, you know, it just really hits well. And not only that, but I think they have another ad later on too that's another Demolition Derby one, and they hit that one too. There's they have another one-liner in there. I can't remember it now, but really good. I like that one a lot. Another one that I love, that I like a lot of these too, they may not be particularly funny, like not specifically like make you laugh, but they do, especially if you live through this time of the late 80s to late 90s, they do really make you reminisce about things that you would have seen on TV. Another one that I liked a lot was the Mr. Chips Computer Learning Center, which just has a fucking hilarious name. Like, Mr. Chips? It's just stupid. And then I like the tax one, too, about computers, because they're like, "Your new tax preparation software on 5 discs. It's great. Let's see. I've got another one that I liked a lot was the TV movies, the movies of the week, because that was huge for us.
Sarcophagus.
I know. I want to see Sarcophagus. I want to see that movie. Looks amazing. Another one that I said, we have to do this one for Red Hot 80s Action Summer, is Armed to Strike, which is a great movie that I think they just basically, it's just like generic action movie guy who's like, he's taking out the trash. He's back from Korea, taking out the trash. Or Doggone It, the TV movie of the week. Doggone It.
Straight in East. Come watch Straight A's. I think my favorite was Chicago Lightning.
Oh yeah, yep.
Hot. Come TV. See.
Yeah, go ahead.
Come see the show that everyone TV guy says, young, fun, and cool.
Yeah.
Chicago Lightning.
Yeah, I actually wrote it down. They say it's hot, fresh, and bad to the bone. Funny.
Which I imagine in 1987, they were saying the same thing about the original first season of Law & Order. Like, oh, George DeZunda is special in Law & Order. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I do feel a little bit bad saying this, but because I used to be an avid subscriber. But the thing that really dates this is the mention of TV Guide. TV Guide, it's not been really a thing for a long time, but I used to be, in my family, I used to be the TV Guide guru. People would just be like, "Ryan, what's on at 8:30 on Thursday?" I'd be like, "Oh, it's fucking blah, blah, blah."
Your family just...
Reddit and TV Guide.
Your family just wanted to know when Great Race was out in Big Brother.
In Seventh Heaven. We are not religious. We didn't watch that bullshit. But no, yeah, I used to be the TV guide connoisseur. So it does pain me to say that a little bit. But by the, I want to say probably like the late 90s, TV Guide was out. Because then we had the guide on TV. Literally, the TV Guide. Well, what would become the TV Guide channel? You could go there and just see what's on. You don't need a paper manual. Another one that I loved a lot is the Shining Trapeze Strip Club's Eggs and Legs Midnight Brunch. It's great.
Kids, just $5.
Yeah, the ads, again, I think the ads are really what sets this film apart for sure. Some people may not find the ads that enjoyable, so they might end up kind of tuning out with the ads.
Are you kidding me? That's literally the best part of this film.
I mean, I can see how some people would argue, especially if you did not really grow up in this, especially now. Like, can you you imagine, you know, kids from 2010 or even 2005 growing up and not experiencing any of these types of, you know, TV ads and things like that? It probably would just pass right by them. I don't know that they would even find it humorous, because part of the humor, like I said, they play it a lot, mostly straight. Part of the humor is just laughing at, like, yeah, that's a spot on ad for that you would have seen at that time. So I do think there is
You know what's funny is I was explaining to somebody the other day about Ranger Danger around here. Remember Ranger Danger?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's nice, like classic, like public TV.
Yep. I feel like the WNUF Halloween special is T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland for 80s to 90s kids of references. Like, if you
wow.
Of it, if you didn't have it, you don't got it, right? T.S. Eliot rolling over in his grave. Like, fucking World War II references galore all throughout my fucking poems. References to everything from, you know, Marlowe to Shakespeare, and you're calling the WNUF Halloween special the T.S. Eliot of movies?
Yeah, you decided to put it in your senior quote because you're a fucking bougie prick.
But yeah, I really feel like that, because, you know, now, especially trying to read The Wasteland, not having that historical context, not having very specific context, you're going to be pretty much lost as to what the actual context of some of the lines of the poem mean. And I feel like that's
I think you meant World War One, because it came.
Yeah, I did. You're right. World War II. You're right. I meant World War One. So yeah, that's a lofty comparison, I realize. But I do feel like that. I feel like, you know, to some extent, you do have to have knowledge of this time frame, of that specific element of, like, ads and things like that. I mean, a perfect example, though, too, that actually has been making rounds on Facebook, and you shared it with me, is that Olive Garden ad that you it's a classic.
From, like, the 80s, I'm like, they got never-ending breadsticks, spaghetti and meatballs, $3.99.
My favorite part was when they were like, even at that time, they were like, they have Italian-like scenery, and like, they were even hesitant at that time to say, like, not very authentic to Italy.
I like, they're like, hey, you got, like, this gazebo over you.
They even grate the cheese. Yeah.
I think as the older we get, I do, like, get more nostalgic for this shit, though, because, like, it's, like, having a conversation with somebody at work who's in their, like, early 20s, and they're listening, like, yo, fam, slip and slide, dip it, dip it, dip it, you know? And I'm like, hey, you're going to see the new Evil Dead movie. Have you seen any of the other Evil Dead movies? And they're like, there's other Evil Dead movies? And I have to, like, be like, oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, I
I'm old.
I bet everybody feels like that to a certain extent.
I didn't think it'd be until 33. I'm like talking to some 20-year-old and being like, "Oh, you've seen this, Jack? That's a thing." It's like, oh god.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, you do have to have some knowledge of it. I think that you can glean some of it from just like knowing about things. But I kind of am. I thought you were going to go in a different way when you're saying that. That you were nostalgic for this time frame. I kind of do miss it as well in the fact that like everything is so polished now. Every ad, every news broadcast,
is measured. Everything,
yep.
Toe the line, very corporate. Like, how can we hit all our demographics? And mm-hmm. here it's like, by our goddamn rug, we got rugs everywhere.
Yeah,
rugs everywhere. You know,
there was. I feel like there was more room of various things happening back then. You know, commercials didn't hit the metrics. They didn't. They didn't have 50 corporate guys sitting in on the production of it, saying, "Well, you didn't get this demographic in."
Sounds like you just stay woke.
No, not even woke. I don't even care about that. I just wish that things were maybe a little bit less polished. Sometimes it kind of had a nice.
Shoot from the hip.
It kind of had a nice little surprise to it. You didn't know what you're gonna get. Even now, like fucking all commercials have the same sort of style. You're gonna hear Imagine Dragons in the background and it's all been researched to death, really. And I feel like you didn't have that at the time, especially like what you see in WNF Hollywood Special.
I do agree. I do think like a lot of the fun is going to be the nostalgia. I can't say with all honesty. You'd have to ask people who are younger to see this movie if it resonates or like they think it's funny at all. Because I do think if you don't have that connection to like that type of TV and that type of like broadcast, it's going to be very hard for you to probably laugh and have a good time with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like man is saying, it's straight. A lot of there's the jokes, the puns are there, but the actual presentation of the commercial is not like wild and crazy, right? It's just literally a commercial. Is something that you'd see if you went to YouTube right now and you just typed in like Mountain Dew 80s commercial. It's that sort of style. And it doesn't really play out in any, really uproarious, humorous way. It's just, here's the product and in that sort of style. The only thing I can say that, might relate it more towards, like Gen Zers a little bit is like maybe like the vaporwave style. This kind of has that too.
But see, that's like that's where it's apes. They aped it from Tim and Eric though.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like, it's like, and I don't really think they've even seen like Tim and Eric kind of fully appreciate it, but that type of style was kind of aped. I think it's the same reason why you see like a lot of the running around like mullets and mustaches now. Cause it's just kind of kitsch to be like, oh, look at me. I'm doing this because it's fun and stupid. Like, mm-hmm. Instead of like us being like, mullets and mustaches are. That's why we do it now. Well, with the mustaches, at least. We're balding now, so we can't really do the mullets, but still,
Yeah.
Funny, this movie's not even really vaporwavy. Like,
no, you don't.
The colors are very muted, so.
No, I was just saying that like a vaporwave style might put you more in line to understand the references of WNEF Halloween Special. So we talked pretty much at length about the ads, but we haven't really talked about the actual special itself yet. So after all of the news broadcasts, all the ads.
There's a movie?
Yeah, there's a movie. Yeah.
I thought it was just 100 minutes of ads.
Yeah,
it would be.
it would make sense for you to be mistaken about that. But yeah, no, in between all that, we actually do get an actual Halloween special that's supposed to be taking place on Halloween night live, led by Frank Stewart, a reporter on the scene at the
haunted. Wish it was Frank Stewart.
Frenchie Griff was Frank Stewart.
And he's on the scene at a haunted house where he's joined by the Burgers. Dr. Burger and Claire Burger.
And
their cat, their partner, Shadow. And third member, Shadow. This whole idea definitely, you know, obviously, as I said before, inspired by Ghostwatch for sure. Definitely inspired by Amityville Horror, because the Burgers are a nice stand-in for The Conjuring's Ed and Lorraine Warren. They're definitely meant to be basically, you know, the same people. Because whether you believe the Amityville Horror and other things that Ed and Lorraine Warren had worked on, a lot of documentation shows that a lot of the stuff they were involved in was bogus. Right. And so this movie is...
Yeah.
And this movie is really poking fun at that idea that, you know, these are supposed to be the Warrens and they are just absolutely ridiculous. They show up with their cat. They clearly don't have a good handle on it. The one time I really love is when Frank goes into the house with Claire. And he's asking her to be, you know, to like get a feel for the house. And she puts her hand on the house. She's like, "This is going to take a minute." And he's like, "A minute?" Because they're on live television.
Yeah, it seems like.
He's like freaking out. He's like, "A minute? Really?
It takes time. Come on, this is a describe.
Can you give us like just like an impression?" It's great. And I love Frank Stewart as a character. He's great because at the beginning of the live broadcast, he starts out. He seems like a nice guy. He's joking around with the one with Deborah. He's like, "Hey, witchy poo," and he calls. You know, he's joking around with her and stuff. Seems kind of nice. And throughout the broadcast, it starts to become a lot more surly. He starts to be almost like standoffish to the people that are involved with him. I love it because I feel like that is definitely something that you would see from like a live broadcast reporter of getting sick of the people that you're speaking to and, you know, having to put up with this fucking charade that you've got going on.
Chicanery.
And I must point out too that Frank does look a lot like my Uncle Daryl. He looks a lot like him, so there's a comfort level there with me as well. It's like a member of my own family. I wouldn't say that my uncle is as surly as Frank, though. So just to put that out there. But he does look like my Uncle Daryl quite a bit. And like I said, I love this idea that they have this Ghostwatch type special with the paranormal. They're going into this haunted house. They've got this kind of setup, and later on we'll find out too that they've kind of set up a lot of this stuff to be for the broadcast. They bring in this guy, Father Matheson, who isn't really a priest at all. And they bring him in and they keep questioning him. They're like, you're going to perform an exorcism here, right? He's like, we'll see about that. It's a great addition that they brought in this guy who's not actually a priest to you know, do this plotting for the film. What do you think about like the opening segments, the montages where they got like the audience outside of the haunted house and Frank's like interviewing everybody? Like, do you believe in ghosts?
It's really fun because it's like if you ever watched like public access TV like this, it's great. To like our local public access was just really a guy with a beautiful mullet walking around with his buddy with a camera going to local businesses, but I'm here today at Pinewood Lake Stoves. Pellet stoves are becoming quite the thing. Tell us, what's going on here? And he just like shoved the microphone in their face, like, "Yeah, we got a lot of different pellet stoves around here, and a lot of good, you know, a lot of
you think about saving on fuel, and now this is an opportunity for you to do that. Yeah, it's very interesting, very interesting. And just show us more. We're like, what's going on back here? We're at our local pizzeria here, down at Plaza's, you know, Italian Bistro, Fine Eating and Dining. Yeah, come take the family down here. We got ourselves a local person here, and then tell us, how do you make the pizza? Why is it so good? Very interesting, very interesting. It's great. As like, it's
great, but like, just like somebody like in each county or like allotted area was given the guy who was like, you know what my job is going to be? I'm just going to go from business to business and be like, hey, who are you and why the fuck are you doing the things you do? And that's what, like, this, like, the interview outside of, like, the house, they, like, kind of gives. He's like, hey, you know, there's ghosts here. What do you think about ghosts?
I call the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, you're funny, asshole.
Yeah, because that's kind of where Frank keeps getting more and more surly, is, like, people keep saying, like, kind of these dumb things. The one lady goes like, he's like, do you believe in ghosts? And she's like, yeah, I do believe in ghosts. And he's like, oh, you do? Can you give us an example of where you've seen a ghost? And she's like, yeah, he's wearing
my grandmother.
Yeah, she's like, he's wearing a top hat. He's like, oh, like got shot, had a beard.
Abraham Lincoln.
And then she doesn't really laugh. And he's like, oh, you do really believe? Okay, all right, I do believe.
How about you? How about you? And it's like, I believe in, like, good ghosts. Okay, like what? Like, yeah, my grandmother, she's nice, and hopefully she's floating around somewhere. That's it?
Yeah. Yeah, he just has that, like, sarcasm of that's great to bring to this, because, you know, it does really make sense that he would have that sort of feeling about these people, because, you know, they obviously have some really dumb comments to put in. I love that. And the other thing too I really liked is when he's interviewing, they're talking about the history of the house, and he asked the guy, he's like, do you know the history of this house? And the guy's like, yeah, I do. There was a guy, a son who went crazy, and he murdered his parents in here. And then he just stops for a second, he's like, yeah, that's actually pretty accurate. Like, it kind of circumvented what he was supposed to be saying, and you know, giving the history of the house. So he's like, fuck. This guy just ruined it for me. That's great. But I like Frank a lot. I think he does a really good job. The actor Paul Fahrenkopf, he does a really great job. He's probably, for the film itself, he's probably one of the, what you would consider, like, the actual cream of the crop of acting. A lot of the other people, they do, you know, like, it kind of can come off as intentional, but you can also tell that they're just not really... they're not really, like, professional actors. So it makes sense, because if it's local public television, makes sense to not have good actors. But Frank is probably one that you would consider, like, the most professional of the actors in this movie. He's just a great character all around. He's written really well. I love the way that they have him develop throughout the movie. He probably gets the best lines in the movie as well. Like, when they first meet the burgers, he asks Claire, he's like, has anyone called you Claire the clairvoyant? And she just, like, stops for a second, pauses, and is like, no. No. he also gets the line, when they're talking about Shadow, like, oh, he's a nice cat. Yeah, a very pretty pussy.
Oh!
It's great.
I like God too, when you're like, oh, you can't. Well, it's not just a pet, it's a part of the team. And he's like, just like, no, the Shadow's not a pet. He's very crucial.
What do you think about the actual element of, like, the shocking, the end of the movie that comes to a conclusion? It's almost like a Blair Witch style ending, where it presents, you know, an actual, it's not paranormal, it's an actual murder that takes place, you know, and Frank and the other camera crew, they're all involved. Which
is a nice little, twist. I think though it's kind of, I think I would have preferred to see the film kind of,
keep playing it for goofiness. I think the fact at the end that they kind of do that little twist, it's not really a twist because it's like, oh, this is a regular horror fair. Like, you know, the people who are against, you know, Halloween because it's satanic, and they bring that up all the time, like the satanic panic, that type of stuff of the 80s. It turned it into, you know, them actually being murdered at the end. It's a nice twist, but I think it's a little too predictable. I think if they just played it, you know, for shits and giggles the entire time, it probably worked best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely, you know, it gets a lot more serious towards the end of the movie as they reveal this. I like it because it does, again, it does kind of like do the whole Ghostwatch type thing where it devolves into chaos. At the same time, I can see some other criticisms of it where it just does, it feels like it maybe doesn't fit as well. So I don't know. I like it though. I think it makes sense for the end.
It's insane. It's definitely not like bad, but like I just think like for a horror film, it's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I just would like to see it kind of, you know, more revel in it and playing it for like, you know, goofiness. Like, oh, roll off here. What's going on? Like, you know, that would have been fun.
Mm-hmm.
To have it at the end, like, oh, you're captured by people who are trying to kill Satanists. Which they do foreshadow constantly throughout the film, because you do see like ads for like the Satanic Panic. There are interviews for like these people who, you know, are about the Satanic Panic. You have constant how this film is dated too, in a sense. Ads about AIDS. The only safe sex is sex with condoms, and don't have sex because it's AIDS virus. You're going to die of AIDS if you have sex. You know.
Oh, there's tons of drug ads, too.
Yeah, like the whole, like, you know, there's a lot of ways to solve problems. Drugs aren't the answer. No, like I said, it's fine. But I do think it would be funner if they just kind of kept playing up the goofiness.
Yep. Yeah, I like it. I think it works. I think, you know, there's probably no really good way to end this movie. Honestly, you do need sort of like a wrap-up conclusion. And I think this ends it in a good enough way where you can have it kind of just cut out, fade out. So it's kind of like the whole idea, the issue behind an SNL sketch, right? Like the sketch can be good in the middle and beginning, but there's always a very difficult way to end it. There's never a really good, satisfying way to end a sketch. And I think that's probably true of the Halloween special as well. There's just not a perfect way to end the movie. So I think what it does is fine. It may not resonate with everybody, but I think it works. And along with that, what do you think about like the use of, you know, basically being in the haunted house, seeing all like these interviews with the burgers and the priest specifically, and how does that do you think like that's a strong suit of the movie, or do you think like it's overshadowed by the ads that actually like get segmented in between?
I definitely think the ads are the hook for me in this film. I think what goes on in the house, the Weber house itself, is fine, you know, well done, but I think the little interludes are what make it tie together, and it's really fun and engaging. And I think this film, on first watch, is definitely enjoyable in its hour and 20 plus minute like runtime as a package. But I can see on rewatches how this could be a taxing film, just because it takes 35 minutes in this hour and 20 minute film for them to actually start really get rolling with what's going on in the Weber house.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it's the news broadcast and then commercial, another news broadcast and commercial, and hey, be careful. Like, this is what the WNUF special is going to be with Frank Stewart and the build up into that. And here's some more commercials. So, I mean, I think the staying power of this film is from its first watch and your enjoyment. And then depending on that enjoyment, it's going to definitely impact rewatches, because I think you could totally find the novelty to wear off if it's not something that resonates with you.
Yeah, I think that that's true. You know, if you've seen the ads, the staying power of watching it again, depending on how you feel about them, it may not be as effective. For me, I love the ads, so watching it again is totally fine because I enjoy the ads every single time I watch it. But for other people, if you don't really love those ads, then you're probably not going to get much mileage out of watching the movie again. And, you know, I think the repetitiveness of it, too, probably can put some people off. For me, it's kind of almost relaxing. It's almost like putting on just TV in the background. You know, you can just put it on and not even really be paying attention. Just kind of have it up and not watch it. And still, it's nice and relaxing. How do you feel about the Halloween element to it? Does this movie have a good Halloween atmosphere?
Absolutely. It's got the ads. The ads are very much, you know, there's a lot of Halloween ads. You know, the overall theme of what's going on. It's, you know, it's a Halloween special. I think the Halloween, this is great. It's definitely going to hit all those little bits as you watch it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's good. You know, some of the ads aren't, but I do like how this film especially shows that a little bit of the Christmas creep. You know, you kind of like Christmas Halloween or Christmas holiday creep in here into Halloween, but not as much as we would later see like now. Because even probably, I want to say like October 15th or so, we start to really get a Christmas creep in holiday commercials. You'll start to see like already like all of like the coffee creamers, they're getting their holiday Christmas commercials out. You might see, you know, like the Hershey's Kiss classic commercial. So we don't even see that as much in this one, but you do get it a little bit. But now, Christmas creep is a real thing. It's already there when you're even haven't even hit Halloween yet. You're seeing Christmas commercials. But I think the Halloween element to it is really good, especially because like the whole news montage, it's all Halloween. You know, various Halloween commercials. All of the Halloween special itself is very, you know, atmospheric. So I think it works. Other than that, did we cover everything you wanted to talk about? I think we hit all of my notes that I had in various elements. So on a scale of 0 to 10 WNUF Halloween special or WNUF channel interludes, because there's like, I think they probably do that WNUF Halloween special break-in like 15 times in the movie. What would you give the WNUF Halloween special?
I would give it 8 pounds of candy to the dentist who doesn't want you to rot your teeth. Mm-hmm. No. But it's 10. This movie's a lot of fun. If you grew up during this time period of television and commercials and public access, it's a lot of fun. The main hook for me, and if you like that kind of sardonic, goofy, like Tim and Eric style humor, film's definitely going to resonate with you. It's really good. It's a lot of fun. They play it straight. The ads are hilarious. The premise is really good. It's a very slow burn to get to the very end. Whether it pays off for you, it's going to depend. Whether what's going on in the film works for you is going to totally depend on how old you are and how it resonates with you. I do think the film's a lot of fun. I can totally see, though, after watching this for the first, like, and totally as a film, as much as I enjoyed it, I wouldn't want to sit down and probably watch it every a lot, because the mileage is definitely variable on it. Like, it's the height is going to be on your first watch, and then from there, it'll be fun to revisit some of the stuff, but it's not going to resonate the same, because if you were to watch this on repeated watchings, 85 minutes is pretty taxing, because it takes forever for what's supposed to happen in this film to happen. But it's a lot of fun. The ads are great. Frank Stewart is great. The whole WNUF is like set up and all the kitsch around it. It's great. And it's a lot of fun. And this is a film that I can see why it's kind of become a cult classic over the years. It's a very good film. Say 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd probably give this an 8.5 out of 10. I think that it works really well as a film, as a nostalgic, reminiscence of time past. Especially for me, the mileage is going to vary depending on when you grew up, what you've experienced in your childhood. But for me specifically, this really kind of harkens back to a time when I really, really loved Halloween. I still love Halloween, but a time period in childhood where you really can't get back to, where you just had all of these experiences during the Halloween season. And I think that this kind of just brings that out. And again, some people won't have that. They won't have those memories or experiences. They didn't grow up in a time where ads and broadcasts like this were a thing. So I can understand where people might not find it that enjoyable. For me, it's very enjoyable. I can watch the ads over and over again. I can, just like I said, pop it on and have it on in the background. And I don't even need to pay attention to it because I know what's going on. I think part of the love of it is just going with the flow and enjoying the ads and enjoying the break-ins and all, knowing the ads by heart. So I think, for me, it works really well as a movie. Even if, and especially to appreciating like all of the influences that went into it, the annual horror, like you said, the Ghost Watch, a lot of the broadcasts from years past that were actually truly, live specials. All of those, that knowledge kind of goes into the appreciation of the film itself. So for me, 8.5 out of 10, though I can understand why people might not enjoy it or might not see the appeal, because it is a very specific time period that you had to live through. And if you didn't, you don't really have those memories to kind of reminisce about when you're watching the movie. So, but overall, a very fun movie. All right, so that's the WNEF Halloween special. Next week, I think we still have another week before Saw comes out. Is that right? Saw 10?
I don't know when this come out.
I think Saw 10 comes out on September 29th. Yeah. So we will not be able to do it next week. We'll have to do it the week after. So I think next week, what if we did Trick or Treat? The not Trick or Treat, not dropping that O and got an apostrophe trick and apostrophe R, but Trick or Treat, the 80s heavy metal horror movie. How's that strike your fancy?
Was that on the list?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I did mention this one.
Oh, Wasp.
Yeah. Yes, I actually have never seen this movie, but I've always been meaning to. And I said, you know what? Now's the time.
With special appearances by Gene Simmons and Ozzy Osbourne.
Mm-hmm.
It's great that I see that there's a Wasp reference here, because every time a buddy of mine from a workplace something like 80s metal, I go, "Oh, I love Wasp." And he puts like Slayer, Metallica on. I'm like, "Let's go, it's Wasp." Maybe I should change it to Quiet Riot or Dokken.
I really like the tagline. It's so generic. A deadly obsession turns into a spine-tingling horror.
Never Unchained the Night. Just play Dream. Let's just do Dream Warriors. How does that sound, Steph?
I would love to do Dream Warriors at some point.
Well, our Freddy reviews are so all over the place.
Yeah. Sporadic.
It'll probably be, it's gonna be like another 20 years before we do Dream Warriors.
That's right. So yeah, let's do Trick or Treat next time. Should be a interesting episode for sure. Probably get copyright struck. Just even talking about it. So you'll want to check out that episode, of course. You want to see
and rules. Also, too, check out as the season rolls on, your local town's sanatorium history.
That's true. It's a Halloween pastime.
Don't you wish our sanitarium was still standing?
I do. I mean, they are freaky places regardless of whether they are actually haunted or not. Just to think about the what was in them, but and what went on in them, what was perpetrated in them, I should say. not the people that were in them, but the things that were perpetrated in them historically.
People coughing up tuberculosis.
That too. What the horror is really what's still lingering in the air. Because tuberculosis does stick around for a long time.
Well, I mean, we have penicillin for so get over it. Poor Arthur Morgan didn't, though.
Still not something you want to just go and contract willy-nilly, but...
Might I say, too, do I get bonus points for guessing that's how the Red Dead 2 character would die?
Sure.
I mean, I may say it flippantly, like, what's the character in this prequel gonna die from, TB? Well, it happened. It so just so happened that it's what Arthur Morgan dies from. But still, I'm doing victory lap.
You guessed it. But you'll want to check out our episode on Trick or Treat and all the other Halloween episodes that we have coming up. We're going to cover Saw 10 when it comes out. So if you want to hear all of the...
Are we doing the new Exorcist too?
I don't know. We'll try to fit that in at some point. We got to cram.
Well, isn't that like right after...
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Saw 10?
Yeah. We gotta cram it all in.
There's too much shit coming out.
I know. So if you want to hear all those, you can subscribe to us on any podcast app that you can think of. We're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, home base at Spotify. Wherever you listen to podcasts, we're on it. So subscribe. Leave us a nice review. We are on Facebook and Twitter. You can just search for us on there, Blood and Black Run Podcast. We have an email address at bloodandblackrunpodcast@gmail.com. Write to us. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what movies you want to hear us cover, and we'll take that into consideration. You can also donate to us on our Patreon page or at our Spotify page. Whatever you can donate is appreciated, and we will put it back towards beer. So we appreciate that in advance. We'll be back next week with an episode on Trick or Treat, the 1980s heavy metal horror movie, not the... Michael Dory.
Trick or treat.
Pirates version. So tune in for that one. And we appreciate you listening to our episode on WNEF Halloween Special. Go seek that out. I think it's still on Blu-ray through TerrorVision, even though the Blu-ray, you're not going to get much video quality out of it because it's still been passed through VCR three times. So not great quality.
It's pretty cool. That's pretty cool too, which we didn't mention, like the how they degraded the film intentionally. And like, and it's like, oh, how did they do that? They even have a special feature called How We Made It Look Like Shit.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And then they went just putting it through the VCR three times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To get that nice 80s aesthetic to it. It's great.
It is cool. Yeah. All right. So that's our episode. Thanks a lot for listening. Hope to see you back. And until then,
take care.